Welcome, preachers, teachers, and other leaders of the church. We are Preachers Report this week today. I am Emmy.
I am Carrie.
And we are here to bring you the news. We're coming up on January 31st, 2016. We're in the midst of Ordinary Time Epiphany, and the texts for Sunday are Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10, Psalm 71, 1 through 6, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13, Luke 4, 21 through 30. And if you are in the narrative lectionary, it is Mark 6, 1 through 29.
Very nice.
Bam.
Yay for lectionary.
Thanks for listening. Everyone have a great week.
Everyone have a great week. Oh, speaking of yay for lectionaries, really quickly, we should say that Donald Trump went to church in Muscatine, Iowa. He thought that the texts were picked specifically for him, not realizing that, like, hey, we have a lectionary that determines what is said, and it says in the Bible, maybe we should be nice to immigrants.
That was pretty hilarious, so, because he claims to be Presbyterian, but clearly he hasn't been hanging out with Presbyterians a lot lately, if he doesn't know that that's kind of how we do.
Apparently not. He was also very upset because he did a reading, I think, or something. I'm not sure. Yeah, and he said 2 Corinthians instead of 2 Corinthians and then blamed whoever for that. And I was like, buddy.
People have been making fun of him. And then other people have been saying, oh, it's a legitimate way of saying it.
And yeah.
It's
not
a
like,
less common
it's
way.
Not that big of a deal. Like, it's not like, it doesn't bother me like when people say Revelations instead of Revelation bothers me. But like, it's fine. It was just kind of a, like, it was fine to make that mistake, if it's even considered a mistake, but for him to, like, blame other people for it, I was like, buddy.
Yeah.
Calm it down. Anyway.
Other ridiculous things Trump did this week. We're gonna have to have a news segment just for him. Until the primaries. Right, America? Can we just all get together and say, like, even if you really want to vote Republican conservative, that this is just not the man that we should be having lead our country.
It kind of, okay, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Not to interrupt you, which I totally just did, but it kind of reminds me of, I remember the last election.
I was going to say, is this going to be a West Wing reference? And it's
around
not,
this time.
So good job.
No, but there will be, there are going to be West Wing references happening in this podcast.
Thank goodness.
But, so in real life, like this last election, I remember, before Romney was picked, right?
Yep.
That was the last one.
Yeah.
Sorry. Before he was chosen to be the Republican nominee, I remember I think it was Jon Stewart was talking, and he was like, it seems like Republicans don't have anyone they really want. You know, like there's not one candidate that they're all really excited about. It's like, we'll just take Mitt Romney because he seems to be the best choice. And I feel like that's what's going on again this time around, although possibly on both sides. It just feels like there's no, like, but I would say especially on the Republican side, but maybe that's just my biased opinion, but it seems like there's no one that people are getting super behind, like super, you know, like geared up about. And so it's just, yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Trump's supporters are certainly very, very excited about him, but that's it. And everyone else is just sort of terrified, horrified, or thinks it's a giant joke. And it's just very interesting. But I think you're right. I mean, it's kind of happening, I think, in all the political parties, because the Democrats are pretty evenly split, I think, you know, depending on which poll you look at, but evenly split between Clinton or Sanders. And then, yeah, Republicans are either, like, way into Trump or, like, sort of behind Cruz, maybe. Speaking of, there was a Republican debate this week, and Trump chose not to attend.
Yeah.
Didn't want to attend.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like it. Which I found very interesting. I think we could chalk that up to some arrogance. I think really we could say that that's an arrogant move.
Yeah.
To either say, like, this is unimportant, or I'm so much farther ahead of all these people that I won't be there, or whatever. But like, debates have been, televised debates have been a central part of American politics since JFK. And
Yes, because that was the famous JFK Nixon debate where people on the radio or heard it on the radio thought that Nixon won, but people on the TV thought that JFK won. And for some reason, that's like the most fascinating thing to me. Like,
It's
anyway.
to me, it makes total sense because if you look at
Yeah.
JFK and Nixon, like JFK was just so strikingly attractive, and all the sociological studies say we pay a lot more attention to how people look than what they actually say.
Right.
I think that's reflected in some of our presidential elections. Like we elect a lot of very handsome looking men most of the time, unfortunately.
Well, all the time so far.
Yeah, all the time. Right. There's that.
Anyway.
Also this week, Sarah Palin endorsed Trump for Republican candidate and apparently was having difficulty sort of putting sentences together in a way that made coherent sense, and so that became good comedy fodder for a lot of people. I don't know who's kind of listening to Sarah Palin as their political advisor. She's really been out of the scene for a while, but that did happen this week. And in more crazy things that Trump said, he said that he could shoot people in the middle of Fifth Avenue and he would not lose votes. And the crowd listening to him cheered. And I ask you, America, what the heck? What the actual heck?
I have no words.
Hey, Carrie.
Yeah.
Let's show off more of our raging liberal bias by now moving on to positive things like what Obama's doing right now.
Obama's doing things. So he's President Obama started a special task force to research cancer, which this is where the West Wing reference comes in because there was some talk about it being like kind of like as exciting as the moon landing or whatever happening. And there's an episode of The West Wing where the one of the speechwriters, Sam, is well, okay, President Bartlet, played by Martin Sheen,
Amazingly played by Martin Sheen.
amazingly played by Martin Sheen, is having dinner with his wife, Abby, played by Stockard Channing, and a bunch of her friends. They're all doctors, and they're talking about how cancer could be cured in the next 10 years. And Bartlet's like, "What? Let's work on this." And so he starts like kind of putting things together. And one of the speechwriters, Sam Seaborn, played by Rob Lowe, talks about how he like puts it in the I think the State of the Union is what they're working on. So he like puts it in the State of the Union, and they're like all excited about it. And then they eventually decide not to put that in for some reason. I don't remember why. But then Sam like dramatically reads it, and he was like, "It could have been our moon landing." And I was just like, so when I saw that Obama was like, "Hey, we're starting this task force to research cancer or possibly like cure it in the next 10 years." And then they were like, "It's almost like the moon landing." I was like, West Wing references have also happened previously in President Obama's campaign because he had a big block of cheese day. And if you watch the show, big block of cheese days are like the best days in the White House.
I don't know about this.
Okay, I'm gonna give you the famous speech from.
Do it.
So in the West Wing, the character of Leo is the White House chief of staff. He's awesome. I don't remember the actor's name now. But he's like one of the best characters on the show. And he walks in, he was like, "Andrew Jackson in the main foyer of his White House had a 2-ton block of cheese." And so that anyone who was hungry could come in and like take some cheese and eat it with a cracker or something. And then one of the people says, "And a cracker the size of Lake Michigan." And so Big Block of Cheese Day is when people who are like trying to get stuff done that normally wouldn't get a meeting with anyone high up in the government are like allowed to come in and take meetings. So
Oh,
like
wow.
there's people so like in the show there's like people who want to have a more accurate map of like the world. And they show how like it's inaccurate, which is really incredibly fascinating.
Huh.
There's people who want to put, and then there's ones that are like someone wants to put in a highway for deer because,
Nope.
or no, a highway for a wolf, I think.
Just one wolf?
Yeah, I think it's mainly just one. The guy who plays Ron Swanson. Well, I can't think of his name now.
I can't think. Ron Offerman? Not
Yeah, Nick
Offerman.
Offerman.
Nick Offerman, that's it.
He plays like a bleeding heart environmentalist, which is hilarious to see.
That's amazing.
So anyway, there are these big block of cheese day where people who are really fighting for something that normally wouldn't get meetings high up in the government get them. And President Obama did this like just online, like you could Skype in with people.
Oh my
Or I
gosh.
think yeah, he had like a big block of cheese day and it makes you really happy. So anyway, watch The West Wing. It's
Good
basically what I'm
conclusion.
saying. Yeah.
Good conclusion.
Okay, so President Obama's doing that. He's also, I believe, set up like a task force or a group of people to research the Zika virus.
I think that's how you say it.
I think that's how you say it. I don't know a ton about it, but I'm hearing a lot about it. Apparently, it's a link to paralysis in adults, is what can happen. There's someone in the United States who I believe is in Virginia, who traveled outside of the United States, who has contracted the disease, which is passed by mosquito bites. There's also some concern that it could rarely be transmitted sexually. This disease is putting some, or the virus is putting some question into having the Olympics at Rio de Janeiro because that's happening there. And El Salvador has basically asked its citizens to not get pregnant until like 2018
Jeez.
to avoid infants contracting this virus, which has very damaging effects on their brains. So, yeah, that's happening.
This is really interesting because I just watched a very interesting documentary on polio, and like how we eradicated polio in the United States, and also in Russia, because there was this really interesting like willingness to work together against polio even during the Cold War. It does the same. Polio also caused paralysis in adults, though particularly in children, and that's how we were really able to kind of get America behind eradicating it. It looks like, I think. So yeah, we don't yet have a drug or vaccine for the Zika virus, and it's treated by rest, so it can't be treated by any other medication or anything like that. Yeah, and it causes major neurological complications in children, and that's not very good because it's really
No.
hard to gain that back with fetuses, infants, and children.
Yeah.
So we're just gonna be keeping an eye on that. I think, I mean, we haven't quite reached like stay in your house and wear a gas mask fever on it yet, but we do go through that as a country every couple of years, like
Yeah.
H1N1 or whatever's kind of whatever we're worried about right now, because we haven't had, I mean, the last like big sort of pandemic was AIDS, and it was sexual, and so we were able to sort of feel protected from that. And I think the idea that something could be transmitted by something more innocuous, like a mosquito bite, or by air, or by other contact like that, is very scary. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was gonna say, Obama has also been pushing through a new rule through is issued through the White House that employers with over 100 employees requires them to report pay for employees broken down by race, gender, and ethnicity as a push for more visibility and more equal pay. Obama is spearheading this. A Republican-led Congress is resisting it, and Obama is using executive power to push it through. So that's, I mean, we know statistically that. Or at least statistics tell us that women make 77 cents on the dollar. I think Hispanic women, Hispanic and Latino women are almost like almost half, make almost half of what white men make. And trying to figure out what's going on. Like how can we identify that and then work against it in a country that's supposed to be sort of equal for everyone?
Yep.
Good job, Obama.
Obama also, he's had like a busy week.
Yeah.
Outlawed the keeping of juveniles in solitary confinement in the like major prisons, which is awesome. He was talking, I mean, it's been found that there's like major psychological damage that gets done. Which is completely understandable that, so that juveniles being put into solitary confinement get kind of messed up in the head. And that's not exactly what we want with, people who are incarcerated. So, yay.
Agreed. Yay. Good job, Obama. You've had a great week. Yeah. Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
On the sort of police brutality, Black Lives Matter related situations, local police are having to return surplus military equipment like tanks, machine guns, grenade launchers, bayonets, and camouflage gear. There's some concern that these items have been used unnecessarily. Which I say with a laugh, because, like, that's the kind of stuff they were bringing out in Ferguson and in Baltimore and in Minneapolis to deal with mostly unarmed protesters. And they were coming out with, like, tanks and grenades. And, sadly, tear gas is not on this list. I really hope they also return tear gas. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, just the... Where does kind of military might and our military power that we can exercise in what we might classify as more dangerous situations abroad, when do we get to use those at home? And when should we say, like, no, we're not going to use tanks and grenades on our own people?
Awesome.
Kind of in that same vein, listeners, you may recall that the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in eastern Oregon has been under armed militant occupation related to some claims among the Bundy family and then some associates, basically that they should be able to have that land, even though it's a wildlife refuge. And technically, if you want to talk about who has claims to the land, it's actually, you know, American Indian land. Are we saying American Indian or is it Native American? I got taught, like, three different things when I was in school.
Yeah, I got taught that Native American was the correct term in school.
Okay.
But then when I was reaching, like, high school, college, it was like, well, that's offensive, too, so just call us Indians. And then I was like, but that feels wrong. So I have no idea.
Yeah, I feel like I remember something where it was like, well, American Indian recognizes sort of the colonization that happened in America and the fact that they were misnamed and et cetera. But essentially, there were people here before the colonists under Columbus, et cetera. And if you want to talk about who has original claims to the land, they probably do. But so Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in eastern Oregon was taken over by some armed militants, and the FBI established a containment zone around the area because it was interfering with nearby highway traffic, so they were able to kind of cut that back. They also created release checkpoints so that they could track individuals who were coming in and out. And basically they were sort of trying to de-escalate the situation. And these people, mostly white, mostly men, said, you know, like, we're occupying this because we're fighting against a tyrannical taxing government, and we're going to stay here as long as we want, and we'll shoot you if you come close. 8 of them have been arrested and charged, including Ammon Bundy. I think he's the son of Clive Bundy, who's been dealing with a lot of tax evasion issues over many years, and so he's the sort of, he's seen as a champion of, like the Tea Party sympathizers. We did have, on, I think it was Tuesday, two cars left the reserve, and the nearby police forces and FBI tried to essentially stop these people who were leaving the reserve and trying to escape arresting and being charged because they've been occupying national lands, which is not legal. So there's two cars that are trying to flee. The police are able to stop one car. Everybody gets out. The other truck slows and someone gets out of it. Then the driver speeds up and keeps trying to get away. Dodges a spike strip. Gets stuck in the snow. And then jumps out of the car and attempts to flee on foot. Appears to be at least twice grabbing something on the inside of his pocket. Let's see here. I think Oregon State Police troopers did open fire because they thought this person was going to shoot them. And this was Robert Lavoie Finicum, and he was shot and killed. And it did, they did find when they approached him that he did have a 9mm semi-automatic handgun, which he did appear to be reaching for, or at least he was touching the pocket or reaching for the pocket where it was. They've released like unedited many unedited minutes of footage on YouTube so that everybody can sort of see what the police officers were dealing with, at least from helicopters and dash cams and things. And I mean, I don't think there's any question that Robert's death is tragic. Of course, no one wants anyone to die, but I do feel a lot of frustration when I'm reading this that like he was armed. And so people who are sort of defending, you know, like, oh, he shouldn't have been shot, or like, how dare they, you know, open fire on him. Well, he was armed, and he did appear to be reaching for his handgun. And there have been so many cases this year when we've lost lives, and so many cases where we've lost young black lives of young black men who aren't armed, and yet the police open fire or exercise, you know, violence against them to subdue them and who kill them. And I'm really troubled by the way everything's been handled in Eastern Oregon, because it seems like we're handling people who are occupying federal territory with ammunition and weapons, and who have indicated that they will open fire, you know, on anyone who tries to interfere with them, that we're handling them very much with kid gloves. Whereas in Ferguson and Baltimore and in Minneapolis, we have, you know, you drop tear gas on people, you bring out the tanks, you don't interfere, you know, significantly with, in Minneapolis when some white supremacists showed up and opened fire on, protesters outside the 4th precinct. So I'm so troubled by everything that's happening, because it seems like one more a string of events in the really complex issue that is American racial politics. And of course, it troubles me that this whole situation is going on and that someone died as a result of it.
Yeah, I would just echo everything you just said. So.
Thanks, Carrie.
Like, I don't have anything new to add, because I agree. Like, the second that I heard about Finnicum being shot and killed, like, I do feel bad that that happened. However, it is more justifiable to me. As much as killing someone can be justifiable, which is not very much, because of the fact that he was armed and was presumably, I mean, if he's reaching into his pocket, he's going to like to get his gun. I'm guessing it's to fire at people. So, right. So while it's a tragic loss, it is slightly more justifiable to me. Whereas, you know, we do have many instances of people, especially young black men, being shot when they aren't armed and, you know, aren't making any sort of threatening gestures. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Black Lives Minneapolis, Black Lives Matter Minneapolis has been particularly a little upset about the fact that Ohio State Police has already released all of the footage. Because this shooting happened on Tuesday, and the footage, like, all of, or at least a mass quantity of raw footage is now up available on YouTube for anybody to see. And so they show, like, here's kind of the edits where we piece everything together, here's the raw footage so you can watch it beginning to end. And Black Lives Matter Minneapolis has been asking for footage of the killing of Jamar Clark since his death, and has had, there's been no response. And at least from, you know, I have friends in that movement, and I hear them say, like, oh, it's really easy to release video footage when it fits your narrative, right? Like, here's the narrative, you know, he had a gun, and here we can see him going for something that looks like it's in his jacket. We can establish that he had a gun in his jacket. You know, so now we're comfortable releasing the footage. Whereas in this other situation where we have somebody who allegedly had a gun, but then eyewitnesses had say didn't, and or wasn't attacking police officers, was handcuffed, was down on the ground, and yet was killed, and we can't get the footage from that. It increases suspicion that, like, you're hiding this footage not because it's going to affect your investigation, but because it speaks against what the police report says. Because if it really was going to interfere with an investigation, then we would be hiding the footage from Oregon State Police as well. So it's just, ugh. Everybody just stop shooting each other. I don't understand why this is so complicated. Just stop it.
Right. Just knock it off. Hi. In non-shooting news, so in Houston, there was a case brought before the grand jury against Planned Parenthood, and the case was saying that they were selling fetal tissue for profit. So they are misusing the fetuses, I guess, that that are there. And the grand jury cleared Planned Parenthood of all wrongdoing. And actually indicted two people who made undercover videos purporting the sale, like, yeah, these illegal sales. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was very strange to read Houston and, like, Planned Parenthood being cleared of things.
Right.
Because that's not exactly what you stereotypically think of Texas. But it was, yeah, it's just an interesting story that not only did they clear the charges, but they were like, actually, the video that you got is, was obtained illegally, and it's false, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, do you remember, Carrie, exactly what the charges were? I think one, at least, was that they were claiming to represent government officials when they were not with the government.
Yeah. I remember that one. I'm not sure what else. Okay. Was going on, but
I don't remember if it was like claiming to, because it is illegal to sell. I think it's illegal to sell fetal. It's illegal to sell tissue or organs, because that causes problems. Although I have an interesting side note about the American Red Cross about that. But so I think claiming that, so these people making the undercover videos claimed they were there to buy fetal tissue, and that was also seen as, that was also an indictable crime, I think, but I'm not sure. Interestingly enough, when these videos came out about Planned Parenthood, and that was, I think last year fall, I don't quite remember when, but I learned during that time, the blood you donate through the American Red Cross is sold to hospitals. It is not donated. It is sold. The American Red Cross makes money off of the blood you donate.
Hmm.
Which I found very, like, I don't know if I have a problem with it, but I think I always thought it was just given to hospitals for free. And I found that very interesting.
Yeah, I feel conflicted on that.
Yeah.
Because, like, on the one hand, I get that, like, they need to make money to keep going and stuff.
Right.
And, like, you know, staff people and things. But on the other hand, like, I'm freely donating this.
Right.
And if you're making money off of it, that seems wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It did make me feel a little better about potentially, if self-employment doesn't work out, selling my plasma. Because I was like, well, I'm just getting the money for that the American Red Cross would have, so that's okay.
Right. So that's fine. Is that true of every blood donation place? Because, like, I know there's quite a few. There's, like, Memorial Blood Centers and, like...
Yeah, I don't know. It was only about American Red Cross that I read up. It's one of those things that, like, things that don't get disclosed about, you know, your donations and...
Right.
It's kind of it's just an interesting thing to think about. But, I mean, at the same time, like, I donate stuff to Goodwill, and I don't have a problem with the fact that they sell stuff. This is a great time to talk about... How do you research charities and what they do? One great place is charitynavigator.org, which is what I'm on right now. And they do just really good background research into all charitable organizations. And they provide, you know, like a ranking, like how good are they? How much overhead do they have? What do they do? What kind of reports have been levied against them? And it's tricky if you're looking at overhead because... You know, or administrative fees. Because if you think about it, like, a church has administrative fees that are just through the roof. Mm-hmm. We don't produce a lot of product.
Yep.
But it's a good place to start if you're thinking about, anytime during the year, if you're thinking about doing a charity drive, working with a charity, it's always good to do some research on sort of a non-biased site like Charity Navigator and find out, like, what did their CEO make last year? And that kind of question. So continuing on in kind of other considerations, definitely considerations of charity and what charity looks like. Flint, Michigan is still dealing with its lead water issues. And we are finding out that there are some organizations that are distributing bottled water. And unfortunately, some of those organizations are demanding to see people's social security cards before or other identification before they will distribute the water. And of course, they justify it by saying if you're in the country illegally and you don't have proper paperwork, then you don't deserve to have clean water. And those of us who don't think that say it's clean water. That's like we don't have a problem distributing it to Africa.
Human beings
Yeah.
deserve water.
Yeah.
Like,
Don't do that.
anyway,
Everybody cut it out. Just don't do it.
yeah, I just feel like, I don't know, there's a certain point where it's like you're a human being, and I recognize you as a human being, and human
Right.
beings need water to survive.
Right.
And we have it, so here you go.
Right.
Like, that's just not a question in my mind.
Yeah. We're also finding out now, or at least there was a news statement this week that politicians in Flint were getting bottled water and like water coolers in their offices about a year before anyone noticed or anyone was willing to listen to or release to the public that, you know, public people were getting water that was tainted with lead. So basically, there's some suspicion that the politicians knew and just kept right on trucking and didn't take care of the people, which we've basically known since this whole thing cracked.
Yeah.
I think we're
Good.
gonna rename today's podcast. Stop doing that.
Yes. Stop doing that. Do your jobs
Do your jobs.
and
Stop.
be decent humans.
Yeah. Don't do the thing. Okay.
In a very don't stop doing that turn of events, we go to international news.
Woohoo!
There are two men in China who are going to court for the right to marry. It's the first time that a Chinese court has agreed to hear a case on same-sex marriage.
Wow,
So,
that's huge
yay.
in China.
That's huge in China. So that's awesome to hear. Also, the Italian Senate is starting a discussion on the legalization of same-sex unions, which is kind of a interesting issue considering that the Pope hangs out in Rome, Italy, like all
Right.
the time.
Yep.
And it's kind of a major influence there. And the Catholic Church is still not happy with same-sex marriages and unions. So,
Yeah, Francis has been maybe one of the most progressive popes on the issue of LGBT people and has said that they should be welcome in churches, which made lots of LGBT Catholics really excited. And then he's, the further we've gone in his papacy, we've discovered that he does still very much walk the party line as far as Catholicism, Catholic understanding is on marriage, which is that it can only be between a man and a woman, and if you are gay, then you need to be celibate. They are going to join the Lutherans in 2017 for some conversation around the Reformation, which the Catholic Church has actually admitted was a good move and has admitted there were a lot of mistakes the church was making in the 1500s that they are happy to have changed now, of course, still maintaining the belief in the headship of the Pope. But it's going to be very interesting for us in 2017 to see what kind of theological conversations are happening.
Yeah, it will be interesting. Just being from someone who came from a family where there was both Catholics and Lutherans, like it's interesting to look at that history because like Martin Luther made a lot of points of like, hey, this is super, super corrupt, and like we need to change that. And this, like, so there was that whole thing that now the Catholic Church is like, yeah, you were totally right on that guy. Like, it was super corrupt and it was bad, and, you know, like things need to change in that respect. However, Luther also said a lot of theological things to change the church, and that's the stuff that the Catholic Church is like, but
No, we're
no.
not gonna.
Like, we kind of like, you know, push people into being cardinals and stuff, and it basically just. And they wanted to be cardinals to get a bunch of money, and like there was that whole deal, but we're still gonna do good works in order to achieve salvation. So,
Yeah.
anyway,
Okay.
Oh, okay, I have a bridge here, kind of.
Great, take the bridge.
So, getting to more culture news, right? The man who once played Martin Luther in the
Oh, good
new
connection.
Luther
Very well
movie,
done.
thank you, Joseph Fiennes, who incidentally is the real life brother of Ralph Fiennes, who played Tom Riddle slash Lord Voldemort in Harry Potter. Did I just blow your mind? Because, like, I really want to go to that family Christmas dinner. Like, I want to sit between fake Martin Luther and Lord Voldemort and eat ham
That's
and just be
amazing.
like.
You know, the
So,
funny
anyway.
thing is that I'd seen Ralph Fiennes as a name, and I was like, oh, that seems familiar. And I like loved Shakespeare in Love, which came out in like 96, maybe 2001. I don't remember.
It was somewhere in there.
somewhere in like my formative teenage years. And I totally remember Joseph Fiennes from that, and also from playing Luther, obviously.
So, anyway, Joseph Fiennes, Ralph Fiennes' brother, who's also in Schindler's List. Ralph Fiennes was.
Right.
Anyway, Joseph Fiennes, who is a white actor, was cast to play Michael Jackson in a British television series, and people have gone insane about
Hang on
it.
a second, Carrie. I'm pretty sure Michael Jackson was black.
Yeah, he was. And then
Right. I mean, some
had
weird stuff
surgeries.
happened
And
and
like, I'm not condemning people who have gone nuts, but like, it's been just amazing to watch, like, okay, everyone is
yeah.
freaking out.
There's also a significant blow up on the internet today because Beyonce has released a music video or is or was filming a music video in India, and she's wearing traditional Indian garb and has that. And so some people are like, "Oh, cool, Indian stuff." And other people are like, "You're not Indian, so could you not like use our culture to promote a music video?" And so there's all these conversations going on about like what is cultural appropriation versus appreciation. But I think we can really drill it down and say Michael Jackson should be played by somebody who's black.
Yeah, probably. And like, I understand if you're doing like, okay, I don't really understand. But like, I can see whoever, like the casting people being like, well, he was, you know, like
Right.
his skin color obviously changed by the time that he was older. And if you're
Right.
making a movie about, or like a series about him being older, I kind of get it. At the same time, like,
So here is the summary of this 9/11 road trip drama from Sky Arts, co-starring Stockard Channing, another West Wing
Oh my
reference,
gosh,
co-starring
Rizzo.
Stockard Channing as Elizabeth Taylor and Brian Cox as Marlon Brando, about the trio's supposed road trip west from New York after the 9/11 terror attacks. So you got Stockard Channing as Elizabeth Taylor, Brian Cox as Marlon Brando, and Joseph Fiennes as Michael Jackson in a car fleeing the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
This sounds terrible, and I
This
want to
is
watch every minute of it.
supposedly what happened. I'm sure there will be many historical things that will pop up to let us know whether or not it did actually happen. But I find that to be a very, just a weird sort of mental image of the three of them. Stockard Channing as Elizabeth Taylor, I totally agree with that casting choice.
Yeah,
Just
for
let me just
sure.
say. All right, moving on.
Moving on. So Joseph Fiennes is brother to Ralph Fiennes, who played Lord Voldemort in Harry Potter. Speaking of Harry, I'm doing really well with my
This is
transitions
really good.
today.
I feel like this is going to become a theme. How many
It
transitions can we work in?
might be. Speaking of Harry Potter, apparently there's a show now airing. I just saw about this like 2 minutes ago, and I have not done no research on it, but apparently there's a show on Sci-Fi Network, which I still hate the new spelling of it, called The Magician, which is a supernatural series set on a college campus. And apparently a lot of people are saying like it has the mark of Harry Potter, like it's like Harry Potter-esque. I am very suspicious of it, but I felt like people should know about it.
Okay, we are currently on episode 3 of that. Oh my gosh! Okay, in other TV news, which I completely forgot to write down in our notes, The X-Files. Hello, The
Yes!
X-Files is back.
The X-Files came back. I heard mixed reviews.
I also heard mixed reviews.
I have not seen it.
I had like a very small X-Files time in my life, and so I don't feel like enough of a fan that I'm excited for this, but now I sort of feel like I should be because some of my friends are just so jazzed.
Yeah, there's been people that have been like super jazzed about it, and I was like, okay, like I'm not like I yeah. I haven't given X-Files enough time to be super jazzed about it, you know?
Yeah,
But
agreed.
anyway, cool.
All right.
Also happening on TV, which is probably only interests me, but there's this new series, Jenna Fischer, who played Pam on The Office, is in it. It some other people that I can't think of right now, but it's called like Me, You, and the Apocalypse. It's
That
on
sounds great.
NBC. It sounds pretty good. So,
I'd watch that.
yeah.
The car manufacturer, DeLorean, is planning to manufacture 300 replicas of the famous car from Back to the Future. They'll be out in 2017. They'll cost about $100,000 each. And I
Yeah.
want to know, is that the price they're going to put on them? Because I feel like market desire is going to drive that price up.
Yeah,
Okay.
I feel like that's gonna be a low ball right now
Yeah.
because I'm pretty sure people would pay more.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of records that came out this week, and recently, like Panic at the Disco has a new album out.
Oh, nice.
They're also going on a co-headlining tour with Weezer, which I was so freaking excited about. Rihanna put out a new album this week. And interestingly, Sia put out a record that has a bunch of songs on it that she had written for Adele and Rihanna. But Adele and Rihanna rejected the songs that she wrote for them. Like they didn't want to perform them. So she put them on a record. Which is just kind of, I don't know, I find that fun or something. Like, I'm like,
Yeah.
okay, cool, see ya. Like, she's
That's
just like,
awesome.
I'll do it then.
Yeah. Does she normally write for Adele and Rihanna and she like sent them and these were just not up to par or?
Don't know if she normally does. I feel like I
Okay.
heard that somewhere, but I don't know.
Okay.
Don't quote me on
I
it.
thought Adele wrote all of her own stuff, so now
See,
I'm
that's what I thought too. So I don't know if Sia was just like, hey, you would sound good with this. And Adele was like, okay. But I don't know, I wasn't there.
We know our Super Bowl finalists. They are the Panthers and the Broncos. I
Yes.
believe that's the Carolina Panthers and the
Denver.
Denver Broncos. I was gonna say the Colorado Broncos. No, Denver
No,
Broncos.
Denver.
I think the Panthers are the favorite right now because they are being led by amazing Cam Newton. But you never know. The Super Bowl is very weird.
It is. Every year it's odd.
That's. Some years it's very, very predictable. Like some years it matches predictions, and some years it is just completely unexpected. And I think, I, like most of America, really look forward to whatever awesome commercials get put out to go with it.
Yep. I look forward to the commercials. I look forward to Jimmy Fallon predicting who will win the Super Bowl by having puppies
Yes.
eat out of like bowls of kibble. That
Yep.
makes me happy.
Yep.
Also, not gonna lie, I enjoy switching between the Super Bowl and Animal Planet for the puppy bowl
Oh,
because the
good
puppy
point.
bowl is amazing. I'm just saying, especially when they added a kitten halftime show and there's hedgehogs that like announce the game and there's rabbit cheerleaders. Like I'm like, you guys, it's getting
Right.
even more ridiculous
In an amazing way.
in a very amazing way. Other than that, The Revenant is out. It's in theaters. People are freaking out that it's super good, so I thought I should mention it. A lot of people, I'm guessing, are going to be talking about it on Sundays. So,
That is the new movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, right?
it is.
Poor Leo. He has not gotten his Oscar yet, and I wonder if this might be it. It might be Leo's year. There's definitely praise for DiCaprio and for the direction and the cinematography. It's the story of frontiersman and fur trapper Hugh Glass in 1823 Montana and South Dakota. I'm gonna be really honest with you. That doesn't sound interesting to me at all.
No. Is it a true story?
I think it's based on a true story, yes.
Okay, I was wondering about that. I was talking to someone who had seen it, and she was like, it's super good, but like kind of traumatizing. Like, how did you make it through all of this? And I was
Sure.
like, okay.
I mean, being a fur trapper in the 19th century was not an easy work.
No.
So, all right. Well, good luck to you, Mr. DiCaprio. May you finally get your Oscar so I can stop seeing all the memes about how you don't have an Oscar.
Yes, thank you.
Poor thing.
That's mainly my motivation with it as well.
So basically, for those of you who are in the news, stop doing the thing you're doing. For those of you in culture, keep doing the thing you're doing. That's great. Keep it
Doing.
on.
To broadly generalize.
Yeah.
So that is it for Preacher's Report this week today. I am Carrie.
I'm Emmy.
And thank you for listening. We will be back next week with what is happening then.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.